Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a family holds a vigil to bless their new home, only to discover that something dark does not want to leave.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our program, well, you can become a supporter of it. So that's the good news and help keep us on the air. And in exchange, you get a whole bunch of stuff. We certainly make it worth your while, probably most than many podcasts out there. We're going to give you advanced episodes of the show. But not only that, it's all commercial free. You also get bonus episodes that are exclusive for supporters of the show. Brand new ones every single week, jam-packed with some of our best ghost stories. And you get access to our archive of more than 8 years of ghost stories, which in its entirety creates quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories ever put together in one place. So you get access to all of that. It's only $5 a month. You sign up over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get access to all that. The ebook, the audiobook, Amazon and Audible bestsellers also thrown in there too. I can't throw in juicers anymore because Ronco stopped making them. Or the Miracle Blade. I always did you watch infomercials as when you were younger, Carol?
Actually, no.
I loved infomercials.
I mean, I've seen them, yeah. But like actively sought them out, watched them. No.
I think it was like it was a disappointment because when I was a kid, we had Saturday morning cartoons, and you probably had Saturday morning cartoons too, right?
I wasn't born in the 1800s, Tony.
Well, I know, but I don't know when Saturday morning cartoons started because we're about a generation apart.
I think forever.
Okay. I didn't know like when they began, but mine were like the 80s Saturday morning cartoons. That was my era for that. Then Sunday mornings were a huge disappointment because you still get up early as a kid and you're playing and you're trying to watch a cartoon, but all there is religious programming and infomercials. So I would end up watching like the infomercials for the Miracle Blade, the Ronco food dehydrator, and they would always be like, and if you call right now in the next 10 minutes, we're going to give you the deluxe
like everything
juicer system. And it's like two little plastic things that you jam into the side of an orange,
but that's
and
not
squeeze
all
it. But that's not all. We're gonna send you the deluxe fillet knife that can also be used to fillet human flesh, but it's more specifically designed for fish. Yeah. But wait, if you call right now, okay, your turn, fill something in.
Well, put me on the spot like that.
You can't say.
All I was thinking about, well, if you had gotten up and gone to church, Tony, yeah, you wouldn't have had to watch all those.
Exactly. But now I'm going to hell.
I remember there was some kind of religious cartoon on Sunday mornings, and it was like Davy and Goliath or something like that.
Yeah, that was horrible. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And like, that's the only thing, so it's like, oh, I guess I'll watch Davy and Goliath, but it wasn't any good.
No.
Might as well go to church.
There was another one that was like Captain Planet or something that was on in the 80s, and it was like super like good feeling about recycling and stuff, and so it was like a feel-good message one, and yeah, that Davy and Goliath, I remember that too. It just sucked. Sunday morning sucked on television.
So bad.
But I did enjoy, the one thing I did look forward to is if we were still at home, if like maybe we went to like Saturday night church or something and so we could stay home, thank God. I always have liked CBS Sunday morning, and to this day I still love CBS Sunday morning.
That is a good program.
It is.
It really is.
And it's always been consistent, same damn show, from Charles Kuralt to... who was on after him? And he's the one who retired before Jane Pauley took it over.
I can see him. He's kind of bald-headed.
Yeah, because he kind of looked like Charles Kuralt. But
And he was
host, remember? Like, he's really good.
He was good. So, I mean, it was a good show. It still is a good show. And they're actually expanding that show more. I've seen on, this is not an ad for them, but Paramount Plus is part of CBS. And they're going to start doing more features, like feature interviews with the interviewers from that show, like hour-long specials. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. In fact, they're doing one probably by the time this airs, which should be rather interesting, about Woody Allen. Because did you watch Woody versus Mia?
No, I have not watched that.
Oh, that's a fucking...
Because I have something's messed up on my HBO, yeah. Because I can get it on my computer, on my phone, but on my TV, it keeps saying that my password's not valid.
You got to get that fixed. No, it is. Holy shit. You'll watch that. I mean, it's kind of amazing that he's survived as long as he has, because there's a lot of fucking shit there. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's like R. Kelly-ish, where it's like, how do we just kind of let this guy keep floating along? You know?
Well, here's what I've never understood. I'm like, okay, he was her stepfather.
Yeah, that's fucked up enough.
Like, doesn't that bother anybody? And they got married when she was like 18,
and they're all
19, really, really, really young.
I know.
So it makes you think something was going on before then.
But they're still together.
I mean, she might not have been 18. She might have been a little older than that. But the whole thing, it just, and it was like, really? Like, if that was my ex who had married my daughter I had adopted, and then he'd been in her life in a stepfather type of relationship, that would really bother me. Because that just screams of...
Yeah.
Something else going on.
100%. Like
that, so I don't know. I'm not here to say he did anything or didn't. I'm just saying, well, look at the facts. And if you were married to a guy and you had adopted a daughter and he was raising your daughter and you'd been a family unit for a long time and then they marry, that's weird.
If your fucking cousin really did that weird. Or your neighbor did that or something, you'd be like, they're fucking weird. But because the guy like made critically acclaimed movies, it's like, oh, well, you know,
everybody gave him a pass. And I'm gonna say this out loud, I don't like Woody Allen movies.
I've never seen the appeal.
I can't get through them. So I just gave up like 20 years ago. I'm like, you know what, I don't like any of them. I've tried. And I just don't.
He's creepy.
So there, I've admitted it.
We've talked about a creepy thing. Although it's not a ghost, but still,
but
just
creepy
as creepy
as a ghost. That is creepy as a ghost.
Just as creepy, if not worse. Yeah, no, fucked up. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says, I was about 12 years old when my family and I faced extreme poverty. We moved from Los Angeles to the deserted city of Mojave in the high deserts of California. Times were difficult. Many days we did not have much to eat but a bowl of boiled beans, and we had no friends to turn to. We lived on 2 acres of desert land, with the nearest neighbor being half a mile away. This was strange for us since we moved from the city, but my dad was happy. The reason behind the move was my parents' conversion from Catholicism to Pentecostal Christianity. It was strange for my siblings and me to go from saying Hail Marys to start hearing strangers speaking in tongues. Regardless, we began to get used to it. I believe it was 2008. My grandmother was visiting from Mexico and had planned an all-night vigil in which she would invite her friends who had the gift of prophecy to propose of the vigil was to bless, the purpose of the vigil was to bless the home. I remember seeing the guests arrive and being terrified at only one elderly woman. She was dressed in all black and was wearing a heavy black veil over her head. She was about 80 years old and her teeth were completely rotten. Her skin was extremely aged. Upon arriving, she hugged us as if we were family, and once she had greeted us all, she grabbed her veil, put it in her mouth, and was chewing on it like gum. Drool would fall from her mouth and her messy gray hair was falling in front of her face. She brought a dark presence with her, one of which I was too afraid to mention to avoid getting in trouble. Other guests with children, same age as I, attended this vigil as well. They too, along with two others of my siblings, are witness the following. All the children, including myself, fell asleep in the furthest room from the living room to avoid being awoken by the constant praying. 5 of us were in the room. It was about 3 a.m. We all woke up at the same time. I remember opening my eyes to make direct eye contact with my sister by my side. All five of us woke up at the exact same time, and we all felt a crippling fear. It felt as if an evil and dark presence was hovering in the room. The prayer in the living room was loud, and you could hear the elderly women yelling and speaking in tongues. Suddenly, the voices of those praying slowly but surely began to fade away to the point of complete silence. We were in the dark. It felt as if our room had left the house completely. We all hid under the covers, lying in silence for about 5 minutes. Suddenly, we began to hear rapid and vigorous steps running back and forth in the hallway. The speed was abnormally fast. No one on earth would be able to run as fast as the presence in the hallway. It went on for a couple of minutes when the presence also began to laugh maniacally. Not only was this thing running supernaturally, but it is also maniacal as a laugh. It was deafening. All five of us were crying and yelling under the sheets, panicking and believing this dark entity was going to enter the room and hurt us. It continued, and until it randomly stopped at the door of the room, flipped the curtain we used as a door, kept it lifted for about a minute as if it were examining the room, and let it drop. It continued with its running and laughing for about half an hour. All the while, we were calling for my father, yelling at the top of our lungs. Eventually, we fell back asleep with the continuous noises of what I believe was a demon. When the sun rose and we were all awake, we approached my dad and asked if he had heard what we heard and our cries for help. He said he did not hear a thing. To this day, my dad claims to have never heard any of what was previously mentioned. Ever since that day, my grandmother refers to me as her heir, and I suffer from frequent sleep paralysis and vivid dreams of entities visiting my room. I'm convinced my grandmother and the woman she invited are witches, and they welcomed an evil being into my family. It has followed us ever since. My siblings and friends remember that day vividly and shared tears every time we recalled the memory. The elderly woman and my grandmother are still alive and continue to have vigils. Well, thoughts on those experiences?
There's so many creepy things about that. And part of me, yeah, I don't know, but going from one life to a totally different life, and that whole Pentecostal thing is strange because people are speaking in tongues. And if you're a child, to make that kind of transformation in your life, you know, I just have to wonder, like, when you have people who are actively making these weird sounds that nobody can understand, but yet that's the spirit speaking through them, they say. I don't know that. I totally buy all that, but I've never been Pentecostal, so I wouldn't know.
Sure.
But you know what I mean? It's like, if that's an occurrence that is happening in your life, I don't know. Like, could have been a person that was making the weird sounds? I don't know.
The whole speaking in tongues thing and all that has always been really something that I've personally been kind of weirded out by. It was something that was never...
It seems kind of weirdly demonic or something to
me. I mean, and I'm not trying to insult anybody at all. It was something that I was never brought up with. I mean, I was brought up Lutheran, and we just... It was stand up, sit down, shut up. And
I was Methodist.
Yeah. And so it was never like do anything of provocative nature in a church. And I get like if that's how things were in yours, but it's always made me insanely uncomfortable. Anytime I've ever gone to like a church where anybody's doing that, to me, and again, I'm not insulting anybody. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Personally, my truth, hashtag that I always hate saying that phrase of, is it feels a little like inauthentic. I don't know. I mean, it always feels a little bit showy to me. And I don't know that everybody is doing it like that or what, but those are my experiences of what I've seen. But it's like, you're not speaking words. So I don't quite understand what you're speaking, because it's not like suddenly, if you started belting out Latin or something, you fucking got something going on. Like, okay.
Well, then that's obviously demonic. So what's the difference?
Well,
what makes someone, if you're speaking Latin and then they're like, oh, that's some demon in you. But if you're speaking tongues, that's the spirit.
I don't get the whole blah, 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 blah. Like, I watch these videos. I'm watching a documentary on HBO right now about snake handlers in like the Appalachian Mountains. And it's just like,
of course you are.
Like, this is not religion. This is mental illness run wild. And, you know, with outside of God. And again, not insulting religion, but it's like there's a fine line here where it just kind of gets a little bit weird.
And I don't want to dismiss what they experienced by any means. And I think that for me, like, I'm so wrapped up in this story of the parents moving their children to this desert without any food and no neighbors or anything. And then they change religions and become Pentecostal. Like, yeah. To me, that is very traumatic what they did to those children.
Yeah. And it gets, I mean, you're exposing the kids, like, what are they to think of? I don't know. I mean, again, to each their own, but it's just something that it makes me personally uncomfortable.
But, you know, so to me, if the grandmother brings in somebody into the house and they got that weird energy from them, but I'm like, a lot of those people would give me weird energy.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It just makes me think there's something bigger to this whole story. There's a missing part to this story. And it totally could still be paranormal. Not saying it's not.
Have you watched any of the snake handler shit that's
No.
Oh, there's like one that's currently on HBO. I forgot what it's I'm watching
remember
one
of my password thing. I'm having issues.
Yeah, I'm watching one about a bad yogi teacher too, or a yoga Bikram yoga, which is called Yogi Guru Predator. So Bikram Yoga is kind of shit. What is the snake handler one? I'm going to see if I can find it here. It was interesting. And it was like, oh, where is it? You type in snake handler and it doesn't come up. Right. Oh, I'm on Netflix. That's why I got to go over to HBO. But it was an interesting one.
I think I would like it.
HBO,
I mean, I would like a good documentary on the Pentecostal church. I think I would totally. I'm fascinated by different religions and everything.
Alabama Snake is what it's called.
Okay.
And the guy,
I think I would enjoy it.
It's a new documentary. It's a totally messed up one. The guy is like a total creep and messed up, you know, did all these horrible things, but becomes a preacher and then all is good. But is just like a vile human being. And yeah, it's interesting. I don't know how the hell I came across it. It's one of those, like, you may like this if you like that. It's like, yeah, I may like that. Or maybe thoroughly disturbed.
I love it.
I'm going to have nightmares for the next week, but I love it. So yeah.
But don't you think it's interesting in his story, the story you just read, that they all hear it, but then the dad doesn't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't the dad hear it? Why would the kids only hear it?
Maybe they're sensitive and he's not.
I don't know. There's something about that story. I just feel like I'm missing a little bit of information.
Yeah.
And I don't normally feel like that with these stories.
Sure. It's sometimes you get that, though. It's like, well, maybe there's a little bit left out. But
I think the whole thing with them and the religions and just because you could go to church on any given day and someone hits the ground and they're like, because it's almost like a seizure sometimes, sure. Yeah. You know, how do you look at that and go, oh, that's good. That's good. Because if you saw that in regular life, it'd be, holy shit, what's wrong with that person?
Well, they say, isn't there like, it's like, oh, it's the Holy Spirit. That's like, well, then why the fuck isn't he moving other people the same way?
Yeah. And so to me, it's just strange. It's very strange to me.
I'm not trying to insult. I'm just trying to grasp and figure out because I'm just like, it seems very odd, but. You know, feel free to fill me in, anybody. Again, not trying to insult. I'm just giving my perspective on what I see. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, this is Ashley from Nashville, Tennessee. And I was listening to your podcast at work today. And someone had talked about a story that took place in Scranton, Pennsylvania. at a Victorian house, I believe, and it completely brought back a memory that I didn't even remember until then. And it took place in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I was in college about a decade ago, and I went to go visit my mom on spring break. And she happens to still have the computer chair that my grandfather, so her father, had passed away in. And he spent a lot of time in that chair because he loved to just write Western stories on his computer and watch TV at the same time. So probably, I don't know the time, maybe about 1 to 3 a.m., I had woken up and decided to go use the restroom at her house, which I don't know if I told you, was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and she happened to live in a Victorian house. So I get up to go use the restroom. I walk through the hallway, and in this one hallway, there's an open area, like to walk into the hallway, and you look to your right through this open area, and it goes through the kitchen, and you can see into the formal dining room, and then into the living room. In that computer chair, I saw someone falling asleep. And the next day, I woke up, and my grandpa did pass away. I don't know if I mentioned that. He passed away in that chair. So next day, I woke up, and I remember asking my stepfather, hey, did you happen to fall asleep in the computer chair? I saw someone sleeping in the computer chair. And I remember looking at that computer chair, too. And I'm like, am I really seeing someone asleep in that chair? And I kept standing there looking, trying to wake up. And sure enough, it was still there. It just, they acted asleep. So my stepfather said, no, you know, I fell asleep up there. So I thought that was kind of weird, especially since my grandfather did pass away in that chair. I can't remember if this next part took during the same trip or on a separate trip, but I had one of those, you know, like a Canon digital camera, and it was New Year's Eve, and we took probably a slew of 10 pictures, you know, myself with my brothers and my sisters, myself with my mom, you know, just different kind of staged pictures in this living room in the Victorian house in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And every single time on these pictures, you would see four orbs. There would be two on one side, two on the other, and it would be in separate positions and all that stuff. And, you know, I'm not quick to be like, oh, it's a spirit orb. But it was in the same place every single time, not like it was dust. And I wish I still had those pictures, but they're on MySpace, so I could show you. And shortly later, on that trip, I don't know if it was the same day or a different day, the digital camera, it like completely broke. It would stop taking pictures. And I've heard of spirits wanting to drain or use the energy from your devices and drain it. And I was just like, this is so wacky. Like, first it was the four orbs in the same place and all the different pictures, and now the camera is not working properly. And I was like, well, we did cross 3 Mile Island. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but it was wild. Deep down, I think I maybe saw my grandfather in the chair. And then deep down, I kind of feel like this might have been my mom's three brothers who had passed away and my father, who was her ex-husband, who passed away. So that was a total of four people who would have been the closest to all of us. And I just feel like deep down that's what it was. Could have been the camera was broken, though. You know, I don't know. I would be interested to hear what you guys think. Podcast awesome. Definitely will be an EPP member. I just got to remember to sign up. I will be buying a full year, though. All right. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks for sharing your story. What do you think?
I love that she listened and it triggered the memory.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of awesome because that stuff happens. Well, there's a lot to unpack there. And I think I love that the camera dies and it's like, well, we did go by 3 Mile Island.
True.
I don't know. That just jumped out at me.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, like you would, you know, you get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. You don't plan on seeing somebody sitting sound asleep in a chair.
No.
And you don't think that's weird. It's like, oh, okay, so-and-so's, you know, dad or whoever's asleep in the chair.
Until you find out they're dead.
Bom, bom, bom. But you know what I mean? It's like, you saw what you saw.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what you saw.
I don't think anyone's ever, like, walked past a chair and thought someone was sleeping on it and then realized, oh, no, that was just a pillow. Like, no, you clearly see somebody sleeping in the chair if that's the observation that you're making, you know?
Now, maybe if you had really bad eyesight.
Maybe, yeah.
But if your eyes are that bad, you would have grabbed your glasses.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
And it wouldn't be spooky. And it's like, oh, I see all sorts of things. So it wouldn't stand out to you as, like, weird.
Right. Yeah. And so then it's like, but you would think, oh, you know, dad or Bob or whoever fell asleep in the chair. That's what you would think.
Yeah.
So I definitely think there was something there. And then if you're taking pictures with four orbs in the same place in every picture, well, dust wouldn't stay in the same place in every picture. Insects wouldn't stay in the same place in every picture, you know, or was there like a little, like the lens, was the lens dirty? That could explain it.
Hey, look at that, the refraction of where the light's coming from and all that. I mean, typically when you get orbs, what's an interesting sign to them actually being authentic is if you're in the same position and just one of your four shots has the orb in and the others don't. So if you have like four shots in a row with an orb, I'd be questioning where are the light sources, because that could then produce multiple orbs in a row. But if there isn't that light, you know, source refraction option there, then yeah, you may have caught something at a, you know, in a quite a frequent succession.
Or check the camera to make sure that it's not scratched or there's something on your lens.
Yeah, there's a thousand ways.
If they had been near Three Mile Island.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things. I'm so sketchy on orbs because I could create an orb in 5 minutes. If somebody's like, get an orb on camera, I'll get you one within 5 minutes. Just give me my camera. Let me walk around and get a weird light refraction and you'll swear to God it's a ghost. But it's one of those things where there are certain times, and I believe orbs are real. It's just a matter of defining when or not, you know, it is something that's just natural or something that is not.
Like a couple weeks ago, out of curiosity, I was just looking at the housing market in my town.
Mm-hmm.
I was on Zillow or something. And because houses are hard to find, I feel super lucky that I found this really adorable house. I was just kind of seeing what's out there. Not that I want to move, but it's just kind of fun. So I like to, whenever there's a really old house or an interesting house, I click on it just to see the pictures. So I'm going through the pictures and it's like, okay house. Holy shit. And this one picture has like 12 different orbs in it. The only picture like that. I'm like, oh, hell no. Like, there's something about that. Like, why is every other picture just fine except that one?
Yeah.
And I couldn't. There's no way. Like, I could go look at that house out of curiosity, but just looking at the pictures alone, I wouldn't buy it.
Yeah.
There's no way.
And I've been in houses like that where it's just like weird vibes and, you know.
Yeah.
You gotta, yeah.
I don't know, you know, orbs, and you're right. Like, we've all taken pictures that there's sure. Like, oh my God, there's a zillion orbs. Yeah. Well, yeah, there was dust all over. You were in a cellar. We did a haunted ghost tour once and it was like that. But yeah, we were in this cellar. Everybody's walking around the cellar. There's dust everywhere. And that's my guess on what that was.
Sure.
But, you know, it's just hard to tell.
It can be.
That sort of thing.
No, it really can be.
But I definitely think the sleeping person, that was something. That was more than just her eyes playing tricks on her.
I agree.
I think she saw it.
855-853-4802. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hey, how's it going? New listener to the show. I actually just found you guys, I think, around like 4 or 5 days ago, maybe even more. But this is Mark from L.A. So my story, here we go. I believe I was around 8 or 9. I was home alone. My brother was supposed to come and watch me while my mom was at work. So, you know, fast forward, you know, I'm just there and I'm waiting. He's supposed to be there at like 10 a.m. 11 comes, 12 comes, 1 p.m., then I think around like 1:30, it might have been 2. That's when I started getting like a really eerie feeling in my home. We always had history of things happening in my house. Like, we had an attic, my grandfather's bicycle that was stored in the den of the house would move all by itself. And, you know, he died when I was 3. And I just remember memories of sitting on his lap and he would tell stories. But anyways, we would always hear creaks in the house. There's always an eerie feeling and a lot of history and whatnot. But more towards my story, I was home alone and watching Pokemon. I definitely remember all that. And to my left, there's a hallway that has my parents' bedroom at the time, a restroom. And then there's another room at the end of the hall that was my sister's room, who had moved out a year prior to go to college. And then if you imagine, I'm in the living room, and off to my right, there's a kitchen with another corridor for the long kitchen hallway. So it's like a narrow kitchen. It's really long, and it extends and goes all the way to the den of the house, which was an add-on that wasn't originally there. So I'm there just watching Pokemon. All I hear is, like, the sound, and I'm just going to do it. I've heard some other listeners do their sound, so I'm going to try it out too. So, and I'm thinking, oh, that's eerie. I don't think that's real. It's probably just in my head. Probably 5-10 minutes goes by again, but I hear it louder, and I hear, and now I'm really on all, you know, all hands on deck, right? So I start getting fake brave, and I'm just saying, whoever you are, I'm not scared of you. Of course, I was really, really scared of them. My heart was pounding. I can just, it was in that hallway to my left that I heard it coming from. So I walk into it, and I'm standing there for possibly what feels like 5 minutes, and it must have not been more than 30 seconds. And I'm just standing there, hairs on the back of my neck, and all I hear again at the end of the hallway from my sister's room, that used to be the room that used to be my sister's, and it was going, so against my better judgment, I'm like slowly creeping on over to this thing. I have to kind of barely open the door, and now I'm in the room. There's nothing but stuffed animals everywhere. Really creepy. Again, you could tell it was a girl's room, you know. She had the Barbies, dolls, and everything. And anyways, I start getting the hairs on the back of my neck stood up even more, and now my forearms. And now I'm just thinking, this is really strange. I walk fully into the room, and I hear the door behind me go, ooh! So it closed right behind me. And I am now like, oh my gosh, what is happening? And I feel, mind you, this is a hot summer day, sometime in summer. I feel a left hand touch my left shoulder. And I can tell the left hand because it was, I could feel the thumb moving across my back or the other fingers hooking into me. And it was the coldest thing I've ever felt on my body, colder than any ice pack. In that moment, of course, I freak out. I jump up in the air and I run out like a cartoon character toward my front door. And there's like 3 or 4 locks on the door, of course. Overprotective parent, but at the same time, I get it. So I run outside and I didn't even care. I didn't close the door, nothing. I'm just standing out there looking at the front door, and I can just see through the screen. I don't necessarily think I see a figure, but I just feel something is there. And I'm just saying, no matter what, I don't care. I'm standing out here. I don't know where to go. I'm on my front lawn. You know, maybe a neighbor will see me or something. Right in that moment, my aunt, who's not really my aunt by blood, but she's like a family friend, so... yeah, basically she came by and she said, "Mijo, like little one, you know, what are you doing out here? You okay?" And I, you know, I'm starting to freak out. I'm in shock. I can't even word it to her. She's like, "Okay, tell me everything on our way to Carl's Jr." So, you know, if anyone has Carl's Jr., if you ever had a Western bacon cheeseburger before. So she's like, "You want a Western bacon cheeseburger?" I'm like, "Yeah, please." And she's like, "Okay." And I was like, "But can we make it a double Western bacon cheeseburger?" And she says, "Yeah, of course." And she's like, "You want that as a meal?" I'm like, "Yeah, can we have it large?" So I tell her my whole story. Fast forward, guys, last Christmas during the pandemic, I brought it up. And she said, "Oh, mijo, I remember that day. Someone told me to come and check up on you. I didn't hear a voice. I just had a feeling like someone was telling me, urging me to go. And she didn't live anywhere near close. It was probably 40 minutes away. So for her to make that big leap and just think, hey, let me go check up on him, it was much appreciated. So that's my story, guys. You guys have the best podcasts around. It literally makes my day. I'll sometimes listen to it at night, even though I get freaked out. But I'm sure I speak for a lot of listeners, even though they have their own voice. But I know we really appreciate all of you guys. So thank you so much for making all these episodes possible each week and brightening our day. So take care, guys. Bye.
Okay, Carol, what's the more horrifying part to you, the ghost or the Western bacon cheeseburger double?
As a vegetarian. The creepiest part of that whole story was his sound effects.
Yeah, he was
like,
good.
They were really good and really creepy. Like, whatever the hell that was. I was like, what is he doing? No, I think, like, okay, number one, where was the brother? I'd like to have that question answered. And, but you know, if he's living in a house, it's creepy anyway. I just remember when I lived in that haunted house as a kid, and I never went through anything that intense, but that feeling of, I've just got to get outside. I've just got to get outside. And the fact that the aunt was like, I've got to get to him, and drove 40 miles or however far to get to him. Like, there's just something more going on that day.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just sad it happened to a kid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just not right. Why terrorize a poor child? Why terrorize anybody? But, you know, it's just, that was a really creepy story.
It was. And I really think the Western bacon cheeseburger and the description of the doubling of it and the expanding on it to the meal option, because you just think of all the calories that you're getting in there. You're doubling it. And then you get the curly fries. And those are delicious.
Yeah, but he said it so adorably. He was like, could I have the bacon cheeseburger, whatever that was?
Yeah.
Can I have that? Of course the aunt says, of course you can. You've just been horribly traumatized.
Exactly. And what makes it better than Carl's Jr.? Yes. We had Hardee's. You had Hardee's too, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That was what was always what I remember having as a kid. And you know what? I liked Hardee's of the 80s and 90s. I didn't like the reinvention of it, where it was like the giant burgers and everything. And I liked it like when they were more like in sync, like with McDonald's almost. Like, I thought their food was better then. I'm not a big fan of the new version of it. Like, if there's like no other place to stop and I'm on a road trip or something, okay, I'll stop. But,
and I won't.
So. Exactly. Yeah. You're not going to get that Western double.
I did stop there for French fries one day because I'm like, I'm starving. I'll do that.
They do, and they were, have good curly fries.
No, they weren't.
Really?
And I normally really like a curly fry, and they were fresh. Not good. They were so horribly greasy.
Well, when they're done right, they used to have the best. I think Arby's has the best curly fries now.
So I don't want to steer anyone away from there, of course, to each his own. Mm-hmm. But the one that I happened to go to.
Sure.
Was not good.
I would say of all.
And every place has a bad day.
It does. But, you know, if you're kind of driving around and you're like, okay, what are my odds of this fast food restaurant like being good? Like you think like the best version of it. What's the odds this is going to be the best version of it? I have to honestly say that's not high on my list of where it's likely going to be good.
No.
It's not. I mean, it used to be like 20 years ago, but they're usually like not in usually the best of areas and this or that. And it's like, I don't know. But they used to, I don't know, it was kind of a fall from grace, but...
they're trying to make a comeback, though.
They've been trying for quite a while. I actually had the question asked to me the other day, like, what's your favorite fast food restaurant? And I got thinking, and I completely forgot about a place, but this is a place that is now expanded quite across the Midwest, and not an advertisement for them, but my answer now, Freddy's.
Oh, they originated here.
They are. They're from there. I mean, Freddie used to come into the station quite a bit when we were there. and they bring ice cream and all of that. But they're all over the Midwest now. And I know you don't eat burgers or anything like that, but they do have a very good burger, and their ice cream is good.
They have a veggie burger.
They do, really?
They do.
I didn't know that. Is it good?
Yeah. Yes, very.
Oh, good. No, they're always like just consistent, good, no matter where you go. It's a good place to go.
And they recently sold it. But
oh, really?
Freddie lived to be 97 or 8.
Yeah, he died like in the last year.
And he was a World War II vet, just an all-around really good person. So that I'm glad that you picked that place, because he is a good person.
Yeah, and they're just quality best French fries, too, like the skinny cut ones. And they're, that's a good place. So if you're ever in the Midwest part of the country and you see that place, highly recommend checking out. Again, not an advertisement for them. They're not paying for this. It's just, we love, it's a good place. So,
I do.
Yeah, good place to check out. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Love to hear your ghost stories as well. If you want to call in at 855-853-4802. That's going to wrap up the show. For Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.